Good morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible. I'm Pastor David, and the purpose of this program is to grow your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm going to continue with a topic that I looked at last week, and that is, how do I know which parts of the Bible I am supposed to follow and which parts that are not directed towards me, that are not commands that I need to follow? I think this is a very important topic because at this time in our culture, it has become increasingly something to just kind of laugh at the idea of doing everything in the Bible, because the Bible contains so many odd commands and so many things that just no one does. The Bible says, don't wear fabrics that are mixed, together of the same, you have to wear the same kind of fabric. Cotton and polyester can't be mixed together. That just seems like a bizarre, strange command that no one pays attention to. There are so many other commands, like don't eat pork, that, most Christians, all the Christians I know, don't care to follow that command. So it seems like Christians just like to pick and choose which parts of the Bible they follow and which parts they don't follow. And that has led to our culture just kind of mocking the whole idea of living according to the Bible. It's really just what you want to do. It's really just what is the church culture of the day says you should do. But clearly the Bible's outdated. We don't really want to follow the Bible. And, it's just silly for anyone to claim that they follow the Bible. Well, the purpose of this program is to disprove that kind of thinking. The purpose of this program is to say, no, you can and must follow the Bible if you want to have a prosperous life. This is what God tells us in the book of Joshua. He says that if you keep the book of the law always on your lips and meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. God says in book after book after book in the Bible, if you want to have a life worth living, if you want to be satisfied and content with your life, if you want to have joy and peace in your heart, if you want to be successful in life, then study God's word, meditate on it, think about it, all of it from Genesis to Revelation, and carefully do everything written in it. And so that leads to a lot of questions, I think. How do we carefully do everything written in it? Do we need to make sure that all our clothing is 100% cotton? Do we need to avoid bacon in the morning? What are these rules that we need to carefully follow today if we're going to have this promise realized? And I have told you, and will tell you again, no, we don't need to follow every command in the Bible. Every command in the Bible is God's word. We learn from every command in the Bible, but not every command is addressed to us. When God told Nathan the prophet what to say to King David to rebuke him for his sin, I don't read that in the Bible and think, oh, well, I need to go and find King David and rebuke him for his sin. No, King David is no longer living. I know that was a command given to Nathan. That's not a command given to me. When God told various kings to go to battle, I don't read those commands and go find a sword and go rushing out to battle to fight the Canaanites. No, I know that was a command for a specific person or a specific group of people in a specific time. I can learn from that command. It is God's word. I can apply it to my life in various ways, but it is not a command I directly follow. So the same thing is true for so many of these other commands that are kind of looked down on or ridiculed in our culture. They are not necessarily. I say necessarily. Some commands in the Old Testament, maybe we don't like to think about or follow, but they are commanded to us. But many of these commands that receive the most attention as, well, that's, silly Old Testament command, many of them are specifically given to the Israelites under the Mosaic Covenant, not to Gentiles today living in America. They're just not. So how do you know the difference? Well, we're going to look at some examples this week so you can clearly see as you read in Genesis and through the whole Bible what applies and what does not apply. It is not just that Old Testament, we can throw it out, New Testament applies. No, there is a lot in the Old Testament that is directed to Gentiles, all nations, for all time, and we need to pay attention to those commands. in the New Testament, not everything in the New Testament applies to us. Some things in the New Testament are not for Gentiles of all nations for all time. So not everything in the New Testament necessarily applies to us. So I'm going to go over some of those principles so we can see this. The New Testament church struggled with this. So the apostles, after Jesus ascends into heaven, they begin preaching the gospel, and at first it's all Jews that are responding. But then Gentiles begin hearing the gospel and believing, and the Jews, the apostles, the first believers who were followers of Jesus, they were confused about what to tell the Gentiles. Do they need to keep all of the commands in the Old Testament or not? And God spoke, and God led, and God, through the Holy Spirit, gave them direction on this. We hear about an assembly in Acts chapter 15, just so you can get a sense of how this was even difficult for the apostles. It says, "The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James spoke up. 'Brothers,' he said, 'listen to me. Simon has described to us how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from among the Gentiles. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written.'" So now here is a prophecy from Amos that they turn to for guidance. And this is a great prophecy, it says. So this would be written hundreds of years before the life of Jesus. Now it is after Jesus' ascension, they're studying this. It says, "After this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent." So this is God speaking. He's saying there's a future time, and the disciples recognize that it's their time, it's the time right after Jesus' ascension, when David's fallen tent is going to be rebuilt. "Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things, things known from long ago." So it was always in God's plan that the Gentiles would be included along with the Israelites in salvation. And after studying God's word, after hearing what God's Holy Spirit was doing through the preaching of his word among the Gentiles, the council reaches this decision. It says, "It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For the law of Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath." All right, so their conclusion is, no, we don't need to require that Gentiles who want to join the church, who want to be followers of Jesus, who want to be recognized as part of our group, this early Christian movement, we don't need to require them to do everything written in the Old Testament. They don't need to be circumcised. They don't need to follow all of the regulations on what you can and cannot eat, including the prohibition against pork and other unclean animals. They don't need to follow the command about what kind of fabric you can wear. They don't need to wear the tassels on the bottom of their garment. They don't need to bind the law on their forehead. They don't need. There's so many different things that we could go through, and they say, no, we don't need to tell Gentiles and teach Gentiles how to live as Jews for them to be saved. We just have a few requirements, and the requirements they give are interesting because they're requirements that the Old Testament itself said apply to Gentiles. So they're practicing the very thing I'm going to tell you, as far as we have to read the Old Testament and distinguish between what is God commanding Israel, the Jewish people, and what is God commanding Gentiles. And when you look at that list, it's not that they become obsolete, it's not that they change. It's just that they always were addressing one group of people. Their commands given to Gentiles apply forever. The commands given to Jews continuously apply. It's not that they just go out of date. It's about figuring out who the commands are directed to. Well, I invite you to check out more information on this on the Facebook page, Trust the Bible. Ask questions, comments there. Give comments, and I'd love to have you be part of that. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.